Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life.
Anxiety about imperfection. Not to be numb or uncaring, just simply without anxiety, accepting yourself just as you are. Body, with this appearance, these behaviors, these life circumstances. One of the most reassuring lines from the Zen tradition was written by Zen Master Dogen. And it goes like this: to be in harmony with the oneness of things is to be without anxiety about imperfection. Now, I love this teaching because it assumes imperfection. It assumes that these bodies and minds will be reactive, that will grasp and get attached, and that we'll be angry at times and fearful, and that we'll even hurt the beings that we love the most out of our fear and our confusion. It assumes imperfection and says what matters is how do we relate to that. There's a real sense of shame, and that shame ties us up in knots. And it gives rise to the most profound sense of self-aversion. And what this means is that for awakening beings of our time, people on the spiritual path, that paying attention to shame, paying attention to self-aversion, is a necessary gateway for awakening. It's not something to get rid of. Rather, the way we pay attention to self-aversion is actually the ground of the path. To be and caring, just simply without anxiety, accepting yourself just as you are.
Welcome everyone to America Meditating Radio. That was Tara Brach on Monique Rhodes' Heartbeat album. As you know, always, I'm delighted when you take the time to contribute 30 minutes of your time to simply center, focus, remember, elevate, and learn something. Hopefully that's what we do each time you chime in. It's been an incredible week, lots of various events happening at the Meditation Museum. And in one of my previous conversations with the incredible Gangaji, we ended up in a very heartfelt conversation about folks on the path of spirituality tend to put that in a specific department instead of integrate it. Didn't you find that fascinating? And we started to talk about our very good friend Marianne Williamson, who's now running for president in the 2020 elections here in the United States. And she has a very, very large base. A big number of her base believes that she shouldn't be on that platform. And I became quite perplexed, wondering, but why? Isn't that what you always sat there and talked about, why these politicians, you know, that they should be a little bit more value-based, more centered, more focused? How can they not create policies that work for a larger majority of people than just for a specific group? And wouldn't it be interesting to have a healer-in-chief, as the Washington Post had coined her, in running the United States of America? I'm just, you know, there's something very powerful about living in possibility, to actually think about what it could be if that actually occurred. Because we are in a very, very intense age, and you might even call it an age of increased emotions. And what that means is that a lot of our truth, as well as our love, but also our fears, could be quite mixed in all at the same time, making it quite tasty, and it's sometimes also quite bitter. Today I'm really happy to be welcoming our next guest on air. International best-selling author, emotional age and communication expert and women's advocate, Crystal Andrus Morissette. Crystal is a worldwide leader in the field of self-discovery and personal transformation. Now, she's also the founder of SWAT Institute, which means Simply Woman Accredited Trainer, an empowerment coach certification exclusively for women that she created with fellow female visionaries Louise Hay. Keep sending her pure vibrations as she's transitioned into another role. Marianne Williamson, we just talked about her. Christiane Northrup, and a host of others. Crystal is the author of several best-selling books, including The Emotional Edge, Discover Your Inner Age, Ignite Your Hidden Strengths, and Reroute Misdirected Fear to Live Your Fullest. She's overcame several insurmountable odds to create a life of joy and purpose. And now, Crystal has dedicated her life to helping women all over the world to do the same. She's appeared on Oprah.com, The New York Post, CBS Radio, and many other media outlets. And today I'm delighted to welcome Crystal Andrus Morissette to America Meditating. Hi, Crystal. So glad that you can make it.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here.
I've loved your story about all the shifts and ups and downs and smooth rides and turbulence and wind gliding and wind sailing that you've done. And here you are. You know, life is such a trip. Can you believe what we've had to endure just because we decided to take that one breath? It just fascinates me. I swear. I think about it so much.
I still would have signed up for it. It's been quite a journey. Yes.
Me too. I'm all in with you as well. Well, let's get our base to kind of know more about Crystal Andrus Morissette. What inspired you to actually move towards, you know, I don't want to call it a career path, but more a call to empower a woman as a very clear focus for you?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I'm going to probably say something that you've heard many times before, and that is we often teach what we need to learn. And although I was a, you know, and I love that I can use these kind of this lingo and terms on your show. But I think I came out of the womb as a big bright soul, a big bright light, as I think most of us do. And I had this. I use the word power as light. I was an empowered little girl, and I was, you know. But as my parents, and sometimes this can happen. You know, we choose our parents, I think, before we come to this lifetime to give us the lessons we really need, and we don't always get what we want. But I do believe we get what we need to really manifest the full potential of who we are. And I happened to choose parents who were really young parents, who were not equipped to be parents, and who by the time I was 12 had sort of tossed the babies out with the bathwater. I know they might not like to hear that, but that's the reality of what was. I was 12, my sister was 4. And my teenage years became extremely turbulent. And by the time I was 15, I was on my own. I was really struggled with finding a place to live for about 3 years. I say homeless, but that's not really the truth in the sense that I always found a place to lay my head at night. There, you know. And by the time I was 18, I moved my sister in with me. She was 12 now, and all the abuse was really rampant for her. And, you know, I just dedicated so much of my life without realizing it to being that light for whether it was my sister or whether it was, and nothing occurred to me through all those years of such turbulence and abuse and neglect and betrayal that I still saw myself through these lenses of not a wounded, broken soul. And by the time I had children in my 20s, I think it was a path that I was on, you know, through so much of my life. But I realized after I had 2 little girls of my own, I really needed to understand how to protect myself, how to protect this light, how to protect their light. And I realized that I had never learned how to really know my worth and protect my worth. And so as I ventured out into that path, I started seeing so many women that were so much like me, that had so many gifts and talents and didn't know how to bring it out to the world and didn't even know how to stand in their light in their own homes, in their own families, in their own communities. And that became sort of a passion for me, and now it's spread into this global movement.
So when you talk about worth, you know, not knowing your worth to the extent that you perhaps needed to, how were you able to identify what your worth was? What was that moment that triggered you into that recognition?
Oh, it's gonna sound so crazy to say. It probably wasn't until I was really in my 40s. I really still thought my worth was, I think when you've been sexually abused, and I think when you're a pretty little girl and you've been sexually abused, you can lose a sense of, you know, I think a lot of women do, especially in this patriarchal society that we've all grown up in, is so much of our worth is identified with our looks, our bodies, what we can do, how we can give to other people, what we can do for other people. And it really wasn't until I was into my 40s and I started having dark nights of the soul. It was almost like all of the abuse from all of my life had just been buried somewhere. I was brilliant at helping everyone else sort through their sort of septic tank and, you know, dig out the stuff that needed to be released. And it finally really hit me in my 40s that my worth was not just about what I was doing for everyone else, but even if it all fell apart, even if no one ever bought another book, even if I lost everything, I suddenly found myself realizing that, oh my gosh, my life actually matters. My life. Not my life for what I can do, but just my light. My light in staying alive matters. And that's when the flip switched, and the switch flipped, and I realized it was a whole different way of showing up now in the world. And it wasn't about what I could do and be and become. It was just really standing in me. Just standing in my space.
Fantastic. I've spoken to a lot of my friends who are also illuminaries, well-known people, and I've always been curious to hear their spin on what the dark night of the soul means to them. So what did the dark night of the soul mean to you when you encounter that in your 40s?
It is a dark place for your soul. It is literally your soul is, you know, I've always thought as the soul, my real self, who I really am, was this connected to this omnipotent source of light and love and power, and it's unfailing and never. And suddenly, my soul felt, it literally was, it was like, am I still connected to that light? Do I still have, am I still part of that omnipotent presence, that ocean of love? Have I been disconnected from it? Is my light, like, it was just a really dark night of the soul where it was almost a feeling of, do I even want to be here anymore? And that's a scary thing to say and a scary thing to admit to when you're a woman's empowerment coach and you have thousands upon thousands of people that you've helped that are looking to you. So my dark night of the soul was a real wake-up for me that I matter. I can't explain it any other way than not just this big omnipotent light matters and that I'm a part of this big omnipotent light, but that my light in the light mattered. That was
your
the dark night
in
of
the
soul.
Light mattered.
Yes.
Your light in the light mattered.
Yes.
You know, I was talking to Carolyn Mace and Michael Beckwith, and we spoke about that state a while back, and I loved what Mike and Carolyn had shared, which are very similar stories. And for all of you who are listening in, you've tuned into my conversation with Crystal Andrus Morissette from, I think you're in Canada, right? From Canada. She's the best-selling author of The Emotional Edge, Discover Your Inner Age, Ignite Your Hidden Strengths, and Reroute Misdirected Fear to Live Your Fullest. Whew, that's a mouthful.
I know. But I didn't create the tagline.
We're talking about, you know, the way that each of us see the dark night of the soul. And it's what I took from especially Caroline and Michael was that, Carolyn Mace and Michael Beckwith, was that it's a old you that's crumbling. And the new you is getting formed, but you can't see it very clearly. And you're in that middle period. You're in that middle stage, you know. And you know you can't be what you once were because that's not fitting. But you're not quite ready for the future that's waiting for you, which is going to be great as well. So that space is kind of like the space where you do some deep work, where, you know, you go into a deep connection with Source and you begin to really pay attention to what thoughts are going on. What are they connected to? Are they connected to, you know, very deep intrinsic personality traits that you're still attached to, which are no longer useful for you? Or are you really just ready to fly, but you're scared? And so it was just a very, very beautiful, beautiful decoding of the dark night of the soul, as was yours as well.
You remind me, that reminds me of, you know, it's a sort of that cliche metaphor of really, truly the little caterpillar that goes in there and she's in her cocoon and she's struggling and she's pushing. And I love the story of the gardener. And she goes out to the back garden and she sees this little cocoon and it's wriggling and wriggling and wriggling. And she watches it for a few minutes and a little bit longer. And she's like, wow, this is really hard work. I'm going to give this little butterfly a helping hand. And she breaks a tiny little hole in the bottom of the cocoon and the butterfly slips down and sort of prances along the, you know, the twig and it goes to open its wings and they won't open. And she watches and horrified she discovers that it's in the struggle, in the cocoon, that the liquid is pumped to the tips of the wings. And it's in the struggle that we, that the butterfly learns to fly, that it actually gets its power. And I know in a dark night of the soul, you're really hoping someone will come along and sort of just crack that cocoon open a little bit to let the light in. But it was through that that I realized and that I can speak with such truth now to people that I know are going through those times that, you know, this really is that critical moment to keep pushing because, and not pushing with a gripping force, but with a knowingness that you're breaking free and there is light and freedom on the other side. And that was just a great metaphor, and it's sort of similar to how you've described it too.
Oh, beautiful. So let's talk about your book, The Emotional Edge. And in it, you talk about our emotional age. Most of us have heard of our biological age, but you've got to give me some insights on what is an emotional age and how does it actually impact our lives, especially now?
Yeah. I think it's actually, now here I'm going to go so bold as to say it's probably our most important age. And it actually baffled me years ago when I work remotely, and so just like us being on the telephone, a lot of my staff are from various places from around the world. My school is in 45 countries now. So we're on the phone, and we're talking, and it all came about by me talking to some of the women and hearing their voices as we were, you know, planning on how to spread the word of what we're doing, and whether it was coaches or whether it was our student advisors. And I said, ladies, it was all ladies, and I said, ladies, I want you to really be aware of your voice and how you're showing up for these clients. And it's really important that you're not in mother energy. You're not, you know, if someone can only do a phone call and with the time change it's 4 a.m, you don't have to say yes to that. You're allowed to have. And then I talked about their voices, and I said, it's really important that your voice isn't in daughter energy. You don't want to have that high, squeaky, stressy. I said, just really think about showing up in woman energy. And everyone on the phone went quiet, and they were like, what are you talking? I've never heard this before. And I said, it's kind of like your emotional age. It doesn't matter if you're 20 or you're 70. You can really show up like a woman. Well, what does that mean? Everybody was like, what does that mean? Like, we all know what it means to show up like a daughter. We all know what it feels like to show up like the mom in all our relationships. What does it feel like to show up like a woman? And that's when I started to go to work. And I actually began doing crazy research, and I hired researchers to say, has anybody done emotional age? And no one had. And so I really coined it. And emotional age is different, obviously, than biological age. Biological age is what scientists theorize that, you know, if we take good care of ourselves, we get enough sleep, we floss our teeth, we could be 70, but biologically be 40. That would be amazing. And I thought, well, what about how we are showing up, negotiating, compromising, what we're bringing to our relationship? That's an emotional age. And when I began teaching people, and obviously my work is primarily with women, but it absolutely applies to anybody, is mm-hmm. we sort of all have within us these three aspects to our personality. And one is that we have a child, and the child within us is the most selfish part of us. Maybe Freud would call it the id. And, you know, then we also have this really selfless part of us. It's our parent archetype. It's the wind beneath the wings of everybody else. And maybe Freud would call it the superego. Not that we're, not that I'm a Freud or a psychologist, you know, great. That's not my cup of tea. However, we also all have within us this adult. And when we know how to adult up, we really are almost transcending. We're healing the split between the wounded little girl in us and the part of us that thinks she has to be the mother to everyone. We heal the split within that allows almost your own inner mother to take care of your own little inner girl, that allows you to transcend into really becoming a woman in this world.
Hmm. That's very interesting to hear, because another thing that you share in the book is that you created an empowerment spectrum where you show the three emotional archetypes, and you just talked about it briefly, the adult, the parent, and the child, along with the communication scale. Now, when we look at communication scale, are you talking about intentions or quality of conversation? Could you elaborate more on that?
Sure. So with every interaction we have, whether it's verbal, nonverbal, whether it's, we are always communicating to the world around us. So emotional intelligence would be a little different than emotional age. Emotional intelligence is how intelligent you are, the emotions of everyone around you, and how you can sort of cater yourself. That might sound manipulative, might sound brilliant, that you can sort of cater, oh, that person's not in a good place, and I can cater my energy around that so that I can get my needs met. Emotional age is how your, what energy you're bringing into the space. And so the communication scale runs right up through the center. So at the bottom, nobody can see it right now, almost imagine like a triangle. And on the one side, you have your parent archetype, and on the other side, at the bottom, you have your child. And at the top, you have your adult, your woman energy, I call it. For men, I would say, that's being a man, showing up like a man. Not everybody's dad, not anybody's son, but being a man. And I'll tell you, when a man and woman come together, when a parent and a child come together, you got trouble. Anyways, going back to it, so the communication scale runs up through the center. So passive is the very bottom. Passive is incredibly different than peaceful, which is at the very top. So the way that we communicate, often when we show up in mother energy or daughter energy at the very bottom of the spectrum, you might be so passive in your mother energy that you show up like a wallflower. I actually break the mother and daughter, or the adult, I mean rather the parent and the child, into even sub-archetypes to make it fun. It's really a bit of tongue-in-cheek. So when you're really passive, you may show up like the wallflower. You know, you might be the martyr. So now you're actually coming into your relation, or on the other flip side, as a child archetype, you might show up really as a scared little child. You really are going into your relationships so passively. Then it begins to build. Then what generally happens is when someone, let's go maybe in the opposite direction. When you start someone at the top, when you're born, we are born into woman energy. It's like it's a little pine cone inside of you. It's your little golden nugget. And if you're given the right environment, you will blossom. Well, the great thing between the difference between us and a pine cone is that as we get older, we can create a better environment. But oftentimes, mm-hmm. as we are children and things happen and we start off peaceful, and then we start to, ooh, that's not so peaceful around here. And then we're still joyous, but then we start to feel like things aren't so happy around here. We start giving our light away, our power away, and we drop. Before we know it, we've dropped down into love. Oh, I love these people, but, okay, this is really hard to love, so I still accept them. And we just start dropping, and before we know it, we've become aggressive, and we've become passive-aggressive. And oftentimes, as women, we've reached this point of, like, I don't know how to get my needs met. And we may start being almost passive, where it's like, it is what it is. There's nothing I can do. So part of that empowerment spectrum is teaching people how to climb back up and to understand that it's natural and normal to shift from passive. You're going to feel passive-aggressive. You're going to start feeling, and then you're going to move through. And
then
the aggressiveness of this, the aggressiveness is the really magical place where it's like, are you going to push higher out of that forceful, gripping, angry place into the higher levels of consciousness where you really start showing up like a woman?
Wow, that was a lot.
I know.
That was a lot to receive. And we right now, I think, are really thirsting for a peaceful life. And we're thirsting for peaceful environments, maybe even a peaceful marriage or peaceful relationships. And some of us are still struggling with even sitting comfortable with that because we're accustomed to always being so activated to think that that's how we move a story forward. And we look at sometimes being passive as a disempowerment rather than being peaceful. And I don't know, you know, for me to be passive, as long as you're engaged in life and you're moving with grace and dignity, I don't see it as a bad thing.
I think, though, that there can be a misunderstanding of, I think sometimes we call it passive and we don't realize, no, you're talking peace. What you just described is peace. To be in the flow of life, to be not in a gripping, forcing peace. If you look at nature, that's peace. And it is actually moving at the speed. Like if you're looking at this, look at a sunset. It looks so peaceful. It is, but it is moving at what? 1,000 kilometers a moment. So peace is actually this very, 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 very high vibing energy. It is so high vibing. It is so brilliant and bright. But it is a gentleness. There is a gentleness to peace. It is such a beauty. So I think what you're describing is really peace, not to get into semantics, but I get to work with people who are in a very passive place, and there is a very different energy of passive, which is, it is not I'm with the flow of life. It is not I'm moving through the rhythm without forcing, without being in an active energy. It's a stagnant, it's a swamp. And there's a difference between being in the swamp and being at the top of the summit. There's a huge difference in there. And you can be sitting in the lotus position at the top of the summit and be pure peace and emanating pure peace. And that is a whole different energy than being bogged down in the quicksand down in the swamp and thinking, well, see, I'm not moving. So there is a difference in energy, in the frequency.
There is a
difference. And
definitely.
When you're around, there is. Oh, yeah.
Definitely, definitely. I'll agree with you with that. I think peace has a lot of wisdom. And if you can balance your passivity with peace and wisdom, I think it's a great force. Now, before we close off our energizing conversation, tell us a little bit about SWAT Institute.
Sure.
What is its mission and how did it all get started?
Thank you so much. So I wrote my first book, Simply Woman. And that was about 20 years ago. I was, you know, 20, yeah, like my late 20s. And I self-published that book, and I happened to be on the shopping channel, and Louise Hay saw me. Louise Hay, from, of course, we all know. She was my great mentor for many, many years. And I flew down to California, and I did a book deal, and I did two more books with Hay House. And I was so blessed to get to travel with Louise and Wayne Dyer and all of them for many of the I Can Do It events. And I had a radio show. And I reached out to, well, it was the Dalai Lama. Came to Canada in 2009, and at that time I'd always had this dream. I want to launch this international coaching school for women to give them the tools and processes and interventions to, you know, really understand what it means to show up in the world in your light, in your greatness, and in that peaceful, gentle strength so that we can be heard, so that we can join in at the boardroom tables, so that we can, but we have to do it in our own way, in this unique way. And so I reached out to Louise when the Dalai Lama came to Canada and said, the Western woman will heal the world. And I said, Louise, I'm gonna build this. Would you be a part of it? And she said, yes. And so my first interview and my first lecture was with Louise Hay, and then one by one, I just actually spent some time with Marianne Williamson. When was it? The first week of February. Reached out to Marianne, I reached out to Christian Northrup, I reached out to just many of my fellow authors with Hay House and said, I don't want to worry about, I want to make it so economically priced, I want to create a program that really teaches women from nutrition, physiology, psychology, women's health and wellness, and then the entire empowerment spectrum, Greg Braid and the Divine Matrix, Colette Baron-Reed, Sandra Ann Taylor. We just created a program that really weaved women through every aspect of life and gave them
the
tools.
So what can they expect in the program?
Well, first and foremost for themselves. So we have two programs. We have a master and we have a personal empowerment coach certification. So let's say our personal, which is a fast track program, they can really expect first and foremost to understand their own level of consciousness and really to follow process, formula, and map to lift themselves, truly lift themselves to higher levels and to be able to sustain it. And then to be able to do that for their clients. And to be able to do that for other people around the world, not just for women. This works for children. It works for men. But women need to have a safe place. We have women from countries that they would not be able to take this education if men were there with them. We have women who have joined the program wearing hijab, and not that the ultimate goal is for them, not at all. This is a non-denominational program. But we have women who, over time, are feeling safe enough to remove that, to speak, to use their voices. Women are coming together right now more than ever before in the history of the world. And that's really what this is a safe place for women to learn, to be more educated, to be more empowered, and to be a part of a sisterhood where they feel safe to really explore themselves and to have other women from around the world doing it with them. So it's a really beautiful experience. Yeah, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful program.
What are your thoughts on your practice in meditation, reflection, and being able to just come from that deeper place?
So interesting. I was just teaching a course on Wednesday night, and we were talking about meditating, and I was talking about how this work of really healing the splits, stilling the voices is, you know, I sort of, Michael A. Singer, love his work, and I love The Untethered Soul, and I loved a line in that book that he talked about sort of, you are not, once you realize that you are not the voices, you are not the voices, you are the one who listens. And when you can transcend the parts of you that are suffering, and for me that began in meditation, and it began in just having 30 minutes of no voices, just even if it was just my mala bead, and I would one by one, you know, I inhale love and I exhale fear. And if it was only for 30 minutes to travel around that mala bead to start to still this racing brain of mine, that became sort of an inward place. But what became even deeper is sort of living in a daily meditation where you're always aware and that you at any time can still everything and go to that place inside where it is so still. It's like a pebble that drops to the bottom of the pond. And there can be storms out there, but there is always this still place inside. And that's first achieved, I know it is, through meditation. But there's a lot of different practices that can bring you to that place. And now to be able to enter that place in seconds, that's the power of my work. And I know I love your work and what you're doing. And I think that's the work that we're all trying to just bring people to this center place of the stillness inside. And how we get there, it doesn't matter. It's how we all have different ways. And that's why all of our work matters.
Right, of course. Well, Crystal Andrews Morissette, thank you so much. And could you leave us with a website that our listeners can get in touch with you?
Oh, thank you. www.swatinstitute.com, just like Special Weapons and Tactical. When I first launched the school 10 years ago, people said, why would you call a woman's program SWAT? That's so masculine. I said, because we're the new Special Weapons and Tactical that are going to heal the world. One
there
woman
you go.
At a time, listening and loving.
I love it. I love it. Look, all the very best.
Thank
Take
you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So for more information, please go to SWATinstitute.com if you want to learn more about Crystal Andrus Morissette's work and get a copy of her book, The Emotional Edge, Discover Your Inner Age, Ignite Your Hidden Strengths, and Reroute Misdirected Fear to Live Your Fullest. Remember, each moment, each thought has a great deal of value for you. And if for whatever reason you're not paying attention to yourself or you're ignoring those thoughts, which are definitely signaling to you how you're feeling, then just get back up again. Just don't be hard on yourself. Go back and go, okay, look, I've totally ignored you for the last 4 hours, but now I'm here. Did I miss something? Is there something that you need? You've got to start to have a conversation with yourself as if you really are your best friend, your child, your confidant, whatever it might be. But dear friends, please pay attention to what you're thinking and feeling and going through, and then I think you'll find your great joy in life as well. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission, and we really are here to love each other the same, so let's do that now. I think it'll be a really much better world, without a doubt. And I'm going to end the show today with my wonderful friend, Sanatan Kaur. Here's Ek Omkar. Take care, everyone. I'm Sister Jenna. You've been listening to America Meditating Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Did you enjoy that conversation? Because you can also listen to it on Spotify or in iTunes, 24/7, anytime, anywhere. I do trust we all have inner power to become our very best. When we listen with curiosity to learn more, we grow. So thanks so much for tuning in, and do be easy on yourself. Take care.